Teach us again, O gracious one. Teach us that our fathers and mothers have guarded your word through long centuries, that our own heart may be opened by the treasures you are keeping for us now. In Christ we ask it. Amen. Some of you are acquainted with the phrase, the holy roller coaster. It's a handle that I offer to students in my classes on the Old Testament in order to set the history of Israel clearly in their minds. Spread across some 1,500 years, that history of Israel has four very distinct peaks of divine favor and covenantal obedience, and they are separated by three agonies of national calamity. As I lay these things out on a blackboard on the first day of a class, I often ask the students, what does this big picture remind you of? And they'll come the answer, a roller coaster. And then eventually someone says, my life. Nervous laughter ripples across the young faces like an autumn wind across a summer lake. My life. My life has its ups and downs, we say, lightly dismissing how difficult it is to have being. How precious my life. What is it? Common turns of phrase show how uncertain we are what our life is. Of an unpleasant undertaking, we often hear someone say, it's going to be an uphill climb. And yet, when everything is falling apart, we say, things are going downhill fast. Well, which is it? Uphill, downhill? Where's the good part? Where's the bad? That is the roller coaster. C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters brings the eponymous fictional experienced devil to this observation for the sake of his young minion trying to learn the practices of destroying a man's integrity. Screwtape writes to Wormwood, my dear Wormwood, humans cannot see the future, so they will never understand the law of undulation. When life is good, they fear it won't last. So thereby they prove fat targets for our temptations. When life is bad, they fear the dark days will never end. In despair, they are so easily brought to ruin by us. That's the roller coaster, the law of undulation. Buddhist tradition has a name for it, samsara. The endless cycle of death and rebirth, and death and rebirth. Is it holy? Not hardly. Certainly not when we crush others, when we crush our own nature in pushing to get to the peaks. Certainly not when, in despair, we flee from our pain, we dull our minds, we live in pretense. The roller coaster is only holy when you learn that you are free from it, even while it rolls. That you can stop, even though you cannot stop it. That you can trust yourself to real reality, whose great name is God, always and ever present, can trust yourself to reality. And then you are no longer waiting to get to the right place where you will be happy at some obscure future. Then any place on life's roller coaster can be the place of blessing. In any and all circumstances, writes the apostle, I have learned how to be abased and how to abound. This is the holy roller coaster. In this is freedom, nearer, my God, to thee. And this is Jacob's story. Jacob is 20 years old, the story says. To his blind father on his deathbed, in between the story of last week and this week, into his blind father on his deathbed, he has lied. His brother, he has cheated out of every good thing. And now Jacob himself has fled from home in terror for all his evil deeds. He is alone on an unholy roller coaster. And now he comes to a certain place, as the story has it, and he stays there for a night. A certain place. That is, anywhere that the means of progress fail. And you must stop. The sun sets on the day, on your eyesight, on your parenthood, on your career, on your health, on your marriage, on your hopes. Now, it wasn't that you must be 20 to come to a certain place. It's just that you have to be at least 20 to suffer the wilderness of a future from which the bright allurements are dimmed. Now, when we are in situations like that, even in church, when we're asked how things are going, we all have a kind of happy tape that we run, almost without thinking. We chatter on about the children, the church, the job, the spouse, the house, the golf, you name it. Sometimes we even believe that we are that happy face. But sometimes the sun sets, really sets. And you do not blast the silence with noise. You do not turn on all the lights to take the darkness away. You stop. You stop in a certain place. And you take a stone for a pillow. Though like the wanderer, the sun gone down, darkness be over me, my rest a stone. A stone for a pillow means no more of the old wars, the wars of resistance. Resisting what you hate about your life, or about what's come into your life, or who. Self-hatred and moralism, guilt, accusation, those are the old war. Fighting them serves to keep everything locked down just the same. Conventional religion spends and invites you to spend so much of your energies on resisting such things as that, so that the prayers and the priests and the preaching may keep that old roller coaster going and everybody thinks they have something to do, filling up our empty lives with old things that change nothing. But if you are in a certain place, like Jacob, you do not think that you already know God. When he was lying to his father asked him at one point, "How did you get that game so fast, my son?" And he lied and he said, "Your God helped me." Sounds like a 20-year-old with no experience of God. Jacob comes to a certain place with no knowledge of God. This is better than thinking he knows something. Theories about how God works, how prayers work, they all fall away when we are in a certain place. You stop. You do not take a pill for a pillow, but a stone. You do not turn on the TV for a pillow. You do not drink for a pillow. You don't surf the net. Rather, take the hardest thing that you have in your life. Set that stone beneath your head. Lie down in that place. This is faith at work. No more resisting. This is the ancient wisdom which has kept the story of Jacob in the hearts and mouths of our mothers and fathers through ages. Do not segregate too quickly what you think good from what you think evil. Do not separate sacred from profane with such clarity. Back off. On the holy roller coaster, there's no holy land. There's no land more holy than any other, for God is always and ever present, able to receive you where you are. Jacob lay down in that place as he dreamed a ladder set up on the earth whose top touched the heavens. On it, messengers of God going up and down. Heaven and earth touching. There let the way appear, steps unto heaven. All that thou sendest me, good and evil, sacred and profane, all. All that thou sendest me, in mercy give. Angels to beckon me, nearer my God to thee. How do you come to this place? How come nearer? The straightest and truest answer is in silence, in stopping. Not in beseeching, not in ordering God to do this and that, as we so often do. Not directing, not knowing all that is to be done and taking control, but in what Wendell Berry calls the way of ignorance. What the medieval contemplative in England called in a cloud of unknowing. What the philosopher Max Picard in a little book writes, in silence is the holy wilderness, because the wilderness and the house of God are one. Now we know, if we have been in the deep wild of nature, we know a meaning for this, that the wilderness and the house of God are one. And surely we must allow that the noise of the city is often to us like a prison wall against the freedom of silence. Yet those who say, "My God is in nature," have not yet heard the word from Jacob. That is not the message here. For this stopping in a certain place, this kind of silence, this way of opening to the dream of God that we are holding like a precious flame to give to the generations today, this way is not finally private and personal devotion, a recharging of the batteries, but rather it is an action, a contemplative discipline, an action of decisive moral consequence. By means of the silence and the stop, reality, whose great name is God, will reconnect you to the world as it really is, to these fellow beings whose blue planet you share, to all who are dead and gone and all who are not yet here. This is what your stop and your silence is for. It is a kind of service to the existing creation of your God. And this is true religion, to be involved in a pattern of stopping, reflecting, and acting. The word ligament and the word religion share a root. They are cousins. It means to tie, to bind. Religion is a ligament, a connective tissue between yourself and reality, between yourself and all humanity. This they miss who say, "Nature is my God." Sabbath, you who share Sabbath today. Sabbath is meant for a stop in the wilderness, a ceasing from much doing. It's not because this day is declared more holy than all the others. That's an old idea. Sabbath is a stop because you and I must practice our freedom from the roller coaster. We must choose to step off. Prayer and meditation are for a stop. Not occasionally, not when you feel like it. Do you know how weak that is? How incapable of building you up is the practice of praying when you feel like it? We need to be disciples with a discipline. Prayer and meditation are not levers. They don't accomplish something the way clever rats find a lever to press and get the cube they crave. Generosity. This also is given to you as a call to stop. This gift of the tenth part of all we have. Jacob's declaration at the end of this reading is the first time in the Bible story that one of God's children says, "I will give a tenth part." Generosity is a way of stepping off the roller coaster, freely trusting that God will make God's self known to us through our giving if we are bold to stop from our hoarding and our fear. Now listen. In this month, July, 2 years ago, the Riverside Church was thrown from its horse, tossed from its path. Talk about calamity. Hostility and fear were coursing through the whole body. If you're a visitor, perhaps you don't know, but it's okay that we tell this part of our story. The senior minister departed suddenly. No cloud of misconduct over him, not at all, but a place too painful. Many members left. Tabloids of this city gloated over the spectacle of a church in such disorder. Now, in our sermon last Sunday, we drew from the story of the birth of the two brothers, Esau and Jacob, one lesson for a body that will have life. Namely, we drew this lesson that we must decide what is essential and leave behind incompatible goals and incompatible behaviors that will not support the essential. Like all organisms, we must decide on the one thing. Today, we draw another lesson for the beginning, for a body that will have life. This is the lesson. Though calamity is never good in itself, and although the evil actions that bring calamity on are never justified, humanly speaking, still, the stillness in time that follows great pain is a fallow field in which Holy Spirit may plant God's seed. Be assured there of the power of a stopping, of a silence, of a space that you accept when God calls your path to a close. Now, we are in the interim. I'm going to turn the phrase a little bit, minister of the interim. This is the time between. Some people, I've heard some just lately, some suppose that the life of a church during an interim is just a long pause when no progress is possible. Nothing is happening. You're just waiting to get back on the horse and ride off again. You know, the analogy would be that this time would be like time spent in the subway just waiting for the next train. How far they are who think that from understanding body and soul. What is this mystery of the bound nature of spirit and flesh that we are together, a body of Christ? Before a broken body can rise and walk, we must become one during the stopping time. This is a hugely significant time, a time of healing and knowledge when we, like Jacob, can begin to see and to accept our destiny, which is not like what we used to think. Like Jacob, we will see the past of cheating and lying and running is not our future. We are a new creation. Then with our waking thoughts, bright with thy praise, out of our stony griefs, Bethel will raise. Bethel means house of God. Out of our stony griefs, Bethel will raise. So by our woes to be near mirror how gone to thee, nearer how gone to thee. Then, as for Jacob, will come to us the promise of renewed relationship to people not here. The Lord says, I am the Lord, God of Abram, God of your fathers and mothers. All your fathers and mothers, they are many. All of them are present in this moment in the wilderness. Honor your fathers and mothers. This place, this no place of loss and grief on which you lie, says the Lord, this place I will give you and to your offspring, who shall be like the dust of the earth, spread abroad to north and south and east and west, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you. Oh, such a dream. Do you believe it? Will you risk it? Such is the word that comes to one in the wilderness after the great noise of our ambitions and fears has gone quiet, after we have collapsed, put our head on the stone. A new story comes into view, making meaning from the past, indeed, yet showing a future so unlike the past. A new creation, a new covenant for new generations. Or if on joyful wing, cleaving the sky, sun, moon, and stars forgot, up world will fly. Still all our song shall be, nearer our God to thee, nearer our God to thee, nearer to What do you think? Asked Jesus. Man had two sons. He went to the first and he said, Son, go and work in the vineyard today. I will not, he said. So many churches say, I will not. But later, Jesus says, later he changed his mind. And he went. Friends, as surely as the wheels of a car must stop if the driver intends to go in reverse direction, just so surely we had to stop to know that God is here, always and ever present. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you. Lo, I am with you even to the end of the age.